We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
West Virginia coach Bob Huggins met with media earlier today. Listen to what Huggins had to say about his team coming up right after this.
Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus brings you more than 400 exclusive live events, select conference championship events, coaches' press conferences, and original content. Sign up for Big 12 Now on ESPNplus.com/Big12Now.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get underway here. We're going to start out with Brian Messerly. Just a reminder to use the raise hand feature if you have a question for Coach. Go ahead, Brian.
Thanks, Grant. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on our preseason men's basketball media Zoom conference. Before we start with Coach Huggins, I wanted to give everyone an update on scheduling. The first practice will now start on Thursday, October 15th. Teams are permitted to practice 30 times over 42 days prior to their first game. As far as the game schedule, teams are permitted to schedule up to 27 games this season. With 18 Big 12 games, that leaves 9 non-conference games left. What I can tell you as of today, we will play in the Big East Big 12 battle, the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and a 3-game event in South Dakota. That leaves 4 games left to schedule. As soon as the other conferences make their decisions in terms of non-conference scheduling, we will finalize those 4 games. In terms of the Big 12 schedule, we've been told by the league we'll release the schedule by the end of the month. There will be no exhibitions or closed scrimmages this season due to NCAA rules. Right now, scheduling is fluid and changes day to day and week to week. We anticipate the first home game will be the first week of December. We will provide more updates surrounding home games once the NCAA and Big 12 finalizes our guidelines and protocols for home arenas this season. We will have more preseason media Zoom opportunities once we get into preseason practices over the next 6 to 7 weeks. There's no Big 12 media day this season. They will look to do something virtually the week of November 16th with all 10 schools. Grant, I will turn it over back to you for questions. Thank you.
All right. Coach, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right. First question here comes from Mason. Go ahead, Mason.
Hey, Coach. Mason Horodisky, WVBA News. So as you guys just mentioned before, you just scheduled Richmond as a part of your non-conference schedule. And I know getting in these non-conference games has been a big point of emphasis for you. What is your ideal number of games to play before you get into those conference games? And if that's just not possible, what do you plan on doing with your players to get them into conference schedule form?
Well, I think to
most of us, I think the most disturbing thing is they took away a scrimmage from us. And so, you know, our guys are, we're going to go play three games in 3 days without ever playing against anyone. And that, you know, I think that's not fair to our guys, to be honest. Ideal games, I don't know, we used to play as many as 31, and everybody seemed to like it. I don't know what's wrong with playing games.
Next question comes from John. Go ahead, John.
John, I don't really have a basketball question. I just want to know how that beard's coming in. How you doing with that look? Looking good. Look like Dan Haggerty.
Dan Haggerty.
Grizzly Adams.
I was thinking it was more like
Kenny Loggins.
No, the Duck guys. You know. No. The guy. From Duck. I got a duck blind out back.
Obviously, you're rolling with the punches here with COVID.
We don't have any choice, do we?
Yeah.
It's been rough. I mean, it's been rough for our guys. You know, you don't – as much as you try to – you can't possibly in today's world stay away from everyone. You know, you're going to have contact with people at some point in time and It's just been rough. It's been a tough deal. Our guys, I think, have handled it as well as they can possibly handle it.
Your next question comes from Ethan Bach. Go ahead, Ethan.
Hey, Coach. So how difficult is it to rebuild your non-conference schedule with only a couple months in advance and then limited dates to do so?
Well, here's the problem. The problem is we already had a schedule. Josh had done a great job, had us a great non-conference schedule, and then we had to just about totally blow it up and start all over again. And in starting it all over again, you've got conferences that like ours that still don't have their conference schedule. So they want to play non-conference games, but they don't know if they're going to be able to play non-conference games because they don't have their conference schedule as of now. So it's been tough. Josh has done a great job of making sure we contacted everybody, and I think hopefully in the next one we'll fill out our it's been as tough as I can remember in how long have I been doing this? 43 years, I think. Something like that. It's longer than I've been duck hunting, I know that.
Next question here from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
So, Coach, on to the court. Give me your thoughts of the workouts to this point and how anxious is everybody to get practice started?
Well, the guys have been good. You know, it's just a matter of, we don't seem like we've got our entire cast for very many workouts for a variety of reasons. But they've been good. I mean, their attitudes are great. This group, I think, gets along better, roots for, pulls for each other as well as any group that we've had here in a long time, maybe since, you know, 2010. And I think we're talented. I think we've got some guys who know how to play. I think, you know, a lot of those guys got a lot of experience a year ago. They don't want to go through what they went through a year ago. So I'm excited. I think we've got a chance.
Your next question from Justin Jackson.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good, Justin. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, as far as that South Dakota, which I'm guessing that'll start your guys' season, are you still under the belief that it'll be with the other seven same teams from the Battle for Atlantis, or will it be seven different teams or a mix of both?
As far as I know, there's only one team that dropped out, and they have replaced that team. So I think they're good to go. I think it's a matter of waiting for television and the pairings that, that television wants to see. I think other than that, I think they're ready to go.
Next question comes from Michael Sussman. Go ahead, Michael.
Coach, you've said in the past that this is a really solid group for a number of reasons. What are some things in particular that you look forward to watching for now from the somewhat veteran group as they work through things early on in practice?
Well, what I've been pleased with is our veteran guys. And, you know, we say veteran and like, you know, Deuce McBride is a sophomore, Oscar's a sophomore. But it's great to see them work with the younger guys. You know, we've got some talented younger guys. Emma Matthews has been terrific in trying to help. He's trying to help JB. He's trying to he's really trying to show people. And you know, it's not very often that you say a junior is your most experienced guy, but I think he and Derek are our most experienced guys in terms of playing time. So, but they've been good. I mean, I have no complaints whatsoever. They've played hard. I think they've retained things. I think our older guys are trying to help our younger guys, not just on the floor, but I think, you know, later on, you know, at home, I think they're trying to help them. They're watching film with them. They're committed. They really are have done a really good job. And you know, to be as committed as they've been and to be able to get as much done as what they've been able to get done in these times, I think it's admirable.
All right, next question is from Bob Hertzel. Hertz, I have you unmuted. Go ahead and give it a shot.
We'll give it a try. Can you hear me, Coach?
All right, Bob, I tell you what. At you and me on this thing here, how about that?
Yeah, well, let's put it to you this way. I'm still trying to figure out how our regular phone works. I keep hearing that you've lost a lot of weight. How much? Why? How'd you do it? And are you going to sign a contract with an Italian silk suit company for to wear on the sidelines this year?
How I did it is I lied. I don't know where it came from. You know, somebody took a picture and somebody said I lost whatever, 40 or 50 pounds. I didn't lose 40 or 50 pounds. I've lost double digits, but it's not 40 or 50. It's not even close to 40 or 50. But you know what, hey, when people want to spread rumors, let it go.
Your next question is from Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Coach. We spoke to Coach Carey earlier today, and he said that the shortened preseason has led him to strongly consider switching things up, even incorporating a zone. Has the wild preseason made you think twice about maybe some schemes or anything like that heading into this season?
No, not at all. You know, I thought we played very well man-to-man a year ago, and I think we can continue to do that. And, again, our older guys have really helped our younger guys. You know, if anything, I think we've had more time that around our guys than what we normally have. And you guys know Mike as well as I do. He'll play zone until they score, you know, and then they're going to play man-to-man. I mean, he's a man-to-man guy. So, but I don't – I mean, we're going to do some things like we did a year ago. I mean, we played a little bit of zone a year ago. We played a little bit of 1-3-1. We pressed a little bit. We're just going to try to figure out what's in the best interest of our team and who we play that week. And then we'll go from there.
Sounds like we got some birds back there too, Coach.
We got birds. We got dogs. We got probably a possum. I think we've chased the raccoons out. So.
Next question from Ethan Bach. Go ahead, Ethan.
So, Coach, as the non-conference schedule starting to form a little bit as the weeks go on, is there a worry within, like, the Power 5 conferences and teams of playing low majors that can't afford as much testing as you guys can?
No, because that's going to be part of it. I mean, there's going to be required testing before we play. And guys, we've got to play. I mean, we've got to play. We've got to be able to see what other guys can do. You know, you go back and look a year ago, I thought what was really good for us was the Ohio State game in Cleveland, because we did have to play a lot of guys. We got in foul trouble, serious foul trouble, and had to play a lot of guys, and guys responded, and then they respond. I think they had confidence. We obviously had more confidence in them. But no, I'm not concerned about that at all. I mean, I'm not any more concerned about that than I am playing, you know, in the Big Ten schedule.
Next question here from Skylar Callahan. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Coach. I know there's a lot of talent in that front court, but one guy probably not a lot of people know about right now is Isaiah Cottrell. Just where do you see him fitting in? And I know it's a little bit probably too early to tell, but just how much of an impact do you think he could have this year?
Well, he's a very skilled guy. He passes it well. He shoots it well. He handles it probably better than most of our bigs. I think he would be the first one to tell you, though, that it's hard, particularly for a big, because people are bigger, stronger, faster. They get to the ball so much faster. They're so much harder to move. And he's finding that out. And you know, I think it's great for him that he gets to play against Derek Culver and Oscar Sheway, play against Gabe. You're playing against men. You know, you're not – it's not high school anymore. You're playing against men, real men. And I think that can do nothing but help him. And now, has he struggled at times? Sure. But I don't know who wouldn't. And you know, bringing Cinny in, I think, has helped. That's given us another big, strong – big guy that is very physical. And so, you know, I think it helps guys like Isaiah and really any of the younger guys. I just think it gives them a better taste of what's going to happen when we get into Big 12 play.
Next question here from Derek Redd. Go ahead, Derek.
Okay. Hey, Coach, speaking of the bigs, with another year under their belts, what do you feel is kind of the ceiling maybe this year for Derek and Oscar, and where do you see the places that they can grow even further?
Well, I mean, obviously, our downhill slide started at Oklahoma when we were 0-for-21 inside of 4 feet. Obviously, they've got to score the ball, and they're working at it. You know, like there's some mechanical things that we've got to get them get straightened out, but it's hard. It's hard after you've played one way your whole life. And I mean, and Derek has spent a lifetime missing easy shots, and Oscar has missed a lot of easy shots, and we've got to get them to finish inside. We've got to get them to have their head on the rim. But it's hard to score, man, when you never got to look at the rim. You're just kind of throwing it up there and hoping. I think that's what we did a year ago. We can't do that this year. And they understand that. They understand that.
Next question here from Justin Jackson. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, Coach. A couple here for me. First being with the non-conference games that you have remaining, someone had mentioned Richmond earlier. Are you still projecting to play Pitt this year? Is it possible to keep that game or maybe put it on the back burner for a year? And then also the second question being, having the NCAA tournament canceled last year, I'm just kind of wondering what kind of effect that's had on the guys. Is it something they still talk about? Is it something maybe they can use for motivation heading into this season?
Well, let me start from the end of it and go forward. I think they're trying to answer your question. They were were really excited about playing in a conference tournament a year ago because we were kind of starting to ride a high, and everything was going really well. And then obviously that got canceled, and then the NCAA tournament got canceled. And they're excited. I mean, they're looking forward to the NCAA tournament. And as I've said before, which I guess I'm not supposed to say, but I really, it's the truth. The NCAA has to have an NCAA tournament. There will not be any more NCAA. They won't have enough money to exist. So we will play in an NCAA tournament, and we will play in the NCAA tournament. I fully believe that. Did that answer your question? The dogs kind of got me a little bit, you know, off track there.
Next question here from Michael Sussman. Go ahead, Michael.
This is building off the earlier question about Derek and Oscar a little bit, but what are going to be some keys this year to maintaining a nice flow offensively when those two are on the court together?
Whichever one of them receives the pass, try to make a shot. Actually, I think if they made one, they'd like it. No. They want to do it a little more. We're working with both of them to, you know, we're doing it. We're obviously like everybody else in the world. We're playing a lot of roll and replace. And so one of them's going to be a passer. One of them's going to be the receiver. And it depends on which side of the floor that Deuce and Jordan decide to use as to which one's going to be the passer and which one's going to be the receiver. Excuse me.
Next question here from Carly Nevis. Go ahead, Carly.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned him earlier, but how's Jalen Bridges looking? How much did he benefit from his redshirt season?
Well, he's benefited, I think, a great deal, I think particularly physically. He's really done a good job in a weight room. He's gotten stronger. He's playing so much more assertive. You know, and I thought at the end of last year, he was one of our better offensive rebounders. We need him to continue to do that. I mean, if we can have a third rebounder with the other two, whomever that other two is, I think they're all capable. He's a 6'7", maybe 6'8" now guy who can make shots. He can make shots. He can stretch the defense. And he's gotten much better defensively. Hey, Ryan, give me a glass of water.
Next question from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
So I'll follow up on Justin's question. What's the status of the Pitt game?
Oh, I'm sorry, Justin. It's been postponed, moved back, delayed, whatever. That's not going to happen this year.
Next question from Justin Jackson. Go ahead, Justin.
Coach, just kind of wondering about year two with Taz and Sean. Obviously, you know, JUCO guys, you know, you maybe not always 100% sure what you get from them the first year coming in, but what kind of projections or jump forwards can they make in their second year here?
I think huge. I think huge. They're both playing with a lot of confidence. They're both comfortable. You know, it's hard to think and play at the same time. If you're running around, you know, trying to think about, am I supposed to be here? Where am I supposed to go? Did I miss setting the screen? It all affects you. And I think now they're very comfortable with what we're doing. They're very comfortable with their role in what we're doing. And they're both shooting the ball extremely well. I mean, they're not shooting it good. They're shooting it really good. And if that continues with those two guys on the floor, I mean, I think that makes us really hard to guard, because obviously people are going to have to be concerned with those two bigs inside, whichever two it is. And then to have two guys who can spread the floor the way they can spread the floor. And I think on top of that, our point guards came back shooting the ball much, much better as well. Jordan and Deuce both are shooting the ball way better than they shot a year ago.
Next question from Cody Nesper. Go ahead, Cody.
We get it all here, folks. We got helicopters, we got airplanes, we got dogs, we got it all.
Coach, I just wanted to ask.
We're amused.
Do you see Gabe playing a similar role to what he did last year, or has he added anything new for this season?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Gabe's our best passing big guy. So he's a guy who, you put in pick and roll situations, and a lot of times he's going to be the passer. I think the other thing he can do is put pressure on the rim. He's a better ball handler than any of our other bigs. He's a better straight line driver than our other bigs. And believe it or not, he's making some free throws now. So, him driving and getting fouled, going to the free throw line, we feel a whole lot more comfortable with him at the free throw line now, because he's put time in. He's put time in. He's spent time working on shooting the ball and doing things, passing and better at.
That was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. Thanks for listening.